This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. In the past month, several new reports have been released on the horrific conditions facing workers in the meat and poultry industries. The government's Occupational Safety and Health Administration Office reported that the industry had the 8th highest rate of all industries for reported severe injuries. A shocking 17 workers are having amputations or hospitalizations on average every month. Then Oxfam released a report pointing out that poultry workers were being denied bathroom breaks and some were relying on wearing diapers during work hours. Now the Government Accountability Office has released its own report this week confirming these claims and exposing how injured workers in the meat and poultry industry are being denied medical treatment. My guest is Deborah Berkowitz. She is a senior fellow with the National Employment Law Project. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, very, very disturbing statistics here. And I mentioned several reports, but of course, this is an industry that has been studied over the years by independent organizations as well as government agencies. And as far as I can tell, it has always sort of been rife with these sorts of problems. One of the things that I noticed in the GAO report that was released this week was that the rates of injury and illness have actually gone down over the years, but that office is reporting that they're just not going down fast enough. Is that accurate?
Actually, it's not accurate. What I think is most alarming about the new government report that came out from an independent government agency, the Government Accountability Office, was that there is severe underreporting of injuries and illnesses in the meat and poultry industry. So that the decline that is shown in the report is based on employer-reported data to the government. There have been no major safety improvements in the industry. There have been no sort of, you know, stepping up and really dealing with these very serious injuries and illnesses. Instead, employers are putting in systems and programs and policies that, as the GAO report said, are intimidate workers, discriminate against workers once they report an injury, and sometimes fire workers if they report an injury, and so they're not reported. I think one of the things I just wanted to add for an example for your listeners is another government agency went into a poultry plant on the Eastern Shore last year, Eastern Shore of the United States, where we have a large lot of poultry plants, and gave medical exams to all these workers, and they found out that like 60 of them had carpal tunnel syndrome. That if your readers, listeners are familiar with that, you know, it's a very painful disorder of the hand and wrist. It could be crippling. It's from repetitive trauma disorders. But there were only 4 listed on the official injury and illness reports from the company.
So explain what the working conditions are like. I mentioned the Oxfam report that showed that workers are being denied bathroom breaks. So presumably this is a very, very fast-paced working environment. But what are, you know, how do you describe sort of a typical poultry plant, let's say, poultry in particular, because of the extremely high demand for chicken?
Yes. So in the majority of poultry plants, workers stand shoulder to shoulder next in front of these long metal conveyors. The plants are humongous, and they're wielding knives or scissors or hooks to, you know, take the skin off the meat or cut the heads off the chickens or the feet off the chickens. The birds come at them very, very fast. Some workers are working at 40 birds per minute.
What?
There's in some of the jobs that are very, very vigorous, you know, very physically strenuous, like something called the live hang, where they take the chickens from the cages and hang them up on by their feet onto a conveyor belt. It's 20 birds permitted, and it is 8 hours a day. It is nonstop. And the lines are very, very fast in these industries. And to keep the lines running at all costs, the company is cutting corners on worker safety. So you have amputations, you have hands mangled, you have workers breaking wrists and other very serious injuries, as well as you have the issue of them denying workers, you know, access to the bathroom when they need to go, which is a violation of federal law.
Now, why is the government allowing this to happen? I mean, you know, workers are supposed to have basic rights. We understand in this country that workers' rights have been eroded over the years. Unionized workers tend to be better off because they have somebody looking out for them. But still, even if you're not unionized, you're supposed to be entitled to a basic set of labor laws. I know that a lot of our government agencies that are supposed to oversee this are underfunded, but why is the government, especially when it's government reports and government watchdog reports that are finding these terrible, disturbing reports, why are they allowing this to happen?
You know, it's the employer's responsibility to provide a safe workplace. OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, is a wonderful agency, and I was just there for 6 years. And, you know,
you used to work there? You used to work at OSHA?
Yes, I was the senior policy advisor and the chief of staff there from 2009 to 2015 before I came here. And I think most people would be shocked to know that it would take about 140 years for OSHA to get into every workplace under its jurisdiction. Congress does not fund it at the levels that it funds the EPA, and it's not certainly funded at the same levels as like your local health departments that investigate restaurants. So therefore, it's really up to the employers to follow the law, and workers have a right to file a complaint with OSHA if they believe that their workers are, you know, if their work is unsafe and dangerous. But what's happening in the industry is workers are really intimidated. Even just the mere act of reporting an injury will result in discrimination and firing. And also just asking to go to the bathroom, workers often get punished. I mean, I talked to some workers at a poultry plant in Minnesota where if you ask to go to the bathroom more than two times a week, your name is posted on a bulletin board.
More than two times a week going to the bathroom.
Outside of your half hour scheduled lunch. And, you know, for poultry workers on a lunch break, they have to take their equipment off and they may have to use the microwave to heat up food. They may want to call home, and it's about a 6 minute walk from the line to the lunchroom. So, and there's not enough time for the whole plant, all 500 workers or 1,000 workers to go to the bathroom at once.
Now, I understand that about a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, the U.S. Labor Department announced that its latest effort to, quote, nudge employers to operate safer workplaces by issuing the rule that OSHA has come up with for injury and illness record keeping. So basically, OSHA understands that records aren't being properly kept, that injuries are being underreported. But why are employers simply being nudged? Why aren't they being pushed and, you know, at least in firm language, being told they have to follow the law?
You know, in the perfect world, OSHA would be in every plant all the time, but they're not. And OSHA, to its credit, has launched special inspection programs in poultry plants. And maybe this year they'll do comprehensive inspections in five or six plants. That's all the resources that is allocated to them by tax dollars. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, when it comes to worker health and safety, it's just not given the same attention in terms of tax dollars by Congress. And that's really unfortunate. But in the end, and I, you know, it's really the meat and poultry industry have decided that they can get away with this. Right. And so I think it's really important that consumers think about using their weight to make a difference in the industry. I mean, consumers have made a big difference with antibiotic-free chicken or how chickens are treated right before they're slaughtered. And I really do think that the same thing can happen in terms of worker treatment, that we need to lift labor standards in this industry.
So let's talk about the companies that we're talking about here. I mean, these are huge industries. These are massive agribusiness companies. We're not talking about mom and pop farms, or, you know, although they may have problems. We just, but the sheer volume of meat that's processed is in, I understand, a handful of giant companies, right? Can you name some names?
Yes. Well, the leader is there's about 250,000 poultry workers across the nation, another 250,000 meatpacking. The largest in meat and poultry is Tyson's Foods.
They're the leader.
If they invested in safety, if they invested in, you know, the other thing that I wanted to raise is when you get injured in a meat and poultry plant, most of the time you go to what's called a nurse's station. There may or may not be a nurse there. There'll be somebody, maybe an EMT, maybe just a supervisor, who will just give you like first aid and send you back to the line. It's only when they have to give medical treatment that they have to put this on a record that that gets reported to the government, and they do everything they can not to give you medical treatment. And in the GAO report, what was really clear was that workers who even like had like major injuries, like fractured wrists, were denied. They were just told to go back to the line and given creams. They had to go with the doctor on their own and find out that they had a fractured wrist. And then when they come back to work, they're told, I'm sorry, you know, we'll just let you go. You did something you're not allowed. You went to see a doctor. We didn't give you permission. And then you're gone.
And of course, a lot of the workers may not know what their rights are. I imagine that a significant portion of workers in the meat and poultry industry, like in the produce industry, might be immigrants. Is that accurate?
Sonali, that's exactly right. The industry is taking advantage of the influx of refugees and immigrant workers, you know, who may not know their rights at all, maybe new to the United States, you know, new to America, and really sort of exploiting them. I mean, it's, you know, you have a large Latino population, but you also have a large Somali population and other immigrant workers. It's like one of the easiest places for refugees to get jobs, and it's really backbreaking work. I mean, it's really no excuse. Just because people are refugees is no excuse to be so oppressive.
And, you know, another thing that sort of irks me when I think about this story, and I, you know, I may offend some of my own audience during this, but you have all these animal rights organizations that get very upset about the way animals are treated. And those are very legitimate issues. But where are they on human rights? I mean, you know, it's terrible to me that, you know, humans are being treated so poorly, and I tend to have more empathy for humans. And of course, those things can go hand in hand. Human rights and animal rights can go hand in hand. You can have your, you know, animals being treated humanely and the workers who process that meat being treated humanely. But you just don't see that much advocacy on behalf of the human workers in this industry, do you?
No, and I completely agree with you. I mean, there is a coalition of a lot of organizations, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, Oxfam, worker centers around the country, unions, and the National Employment Law Project. And we're taking this case to consumers because what we have found is consumers feel that, you know, chickens don't have a choice. And so therefore, they have to stand up for the chickens' rights. And I understand that. But they, you know, if given a choice, they, you know, would ask the companies to improve how they treat chickens right before they're slaughtered, as opposed to workers, because they think workers have a choice. And the truth is, workers don't have a choice. Low-wage workers, this is the only job often in an area, and especially for refugees, it is the only job that they really can do. And so, you know, it's we really need to, as you said, get more people and more organizations to sort of stand up for the rights of workers, just as they've done to stand up for the rights of chickens.
So what needs to happen? I mean, certainly you mentioned consumers need to exercise their weight, but honestly, I'm a taxpayer. I want my tax dollars to go into more OSHA employees and hold these companies more accountable. I mean, companies, corporations will get away with whatever they can possibly get away with. This should be a standing assumption always. We should expect them to get away with everything they can get away with. But they could lie to us and say, yes, we're treating our workers well, which is essentially what they're doing by underreporting these injuries, unless we can have the right kinds of government oversight and pay for that government oversight. It feels like, you know, it's just going to be one report after another pointing out problems in this industry and nothing actually happening.
Yes, I think that, you know, I think we need to put pressure on OSHA, no matter how small it is, that when they do inspections, they do really thorough inspections.
And pressure on Congress to better fund OSHA?
Right. And you need to let your congressman know, because they hear from industry. They hear about, oh, there are too many regulations, they're too this, they're too that. But really, the right to go to the bathroom, the right to get medical treatment, that is really basic. And companies are violating that. And if Congress heard more from the public about worker health and safety, then I think things would change.
So what needs to happen from the public in terms of just support and solidarity with these workers? And I also would like to ask you about unions. Are there unions that are trying to unionize some of these workers? You know, we have folks in the fast food industry organizing for higher wages and a union, and they're sort of on the final end of how the food gets served to people. But what about on the other end, in the meat processing plants? Are there unions that are attempting to unionize some of these plants?
Yes, about a third of the poultry industry and a little bit more of meatpacking are union, and they have full representation. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of these are in the South, where you have these laws to weaken unions, and the unions do try to organize. The problem in the poultry industry in trying to organize is, I found when I was in the federal government, that the plants can have 100% turnover rate, meaning if there's 1,000 people in the plant, 20 people are quitting every week and they're hiring 20 people. So it's very hard to, you know, have workers that have been there long enough to be able to sort of sign up for the union. But also workers are terrified. They are terrified of the company. They're terrified of their supervisor. They're terrified to even ask them to go to the bathroom, let alone start talking about union. But, you know, I think a lot of church groups and other groups are now starting to sort of move in to sort of help, you know, make that bridge between and faith-based groups, between unions and sort of plants. But, you know, there's a lot of unions, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, the Retail, Wholesale and Department Store Union, the Teamsters, all who are really making a difference here.
Well, finally, give out a website for your organization, the National Employment Law Project.
Yes, and please visit it often and send to your friends. It's www.nelp.org.
And we'll post a link to it from our website later today. Debbie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My guest is Deborah Berkowitz. She is the senior fellow with the National Employment Law Project. And we've been talking about a number of reports that have just come out in this past month, including the latest Government Accountability Office report on the meat and poultry industry and how workers are treated. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can find all of our interviews in video format on that website as well as audio format. And look for us on Facebook and Twitter at Are You With Sonali?